Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
You're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door. And it's time.
It's opening so quietly. Oh, nicely. We did get that WD-40 did work. You are listening to Waking Up in America, Dynamic Radio Dialogues, brought to you by Key Media, happily200.hghbreakthrough.com. Once again, happily200.hghbreakthrough.com, brag.com, and that's brag with two G's, happily200.com, theconingcompany.com, Sir Jason Winter T, DrValerie.com, and The Body Can. Bob Stracosta of the Home Shopping Network says we're doing radio that's changing the world. And I'm really, when I look at the staff and I look at our listeners all over the world, and here's to our listener. We have one listener last week in the Ukraine. We say hello to you.
Outstanding.
To Japan and all these other things. And by the way, our listenership has like tripled this year. So I'm very happy with the fact that the message is spreading, because we're about social change and we're about doing that in the best way possible. So if you happen to hear a telephone ringing, a dog barking, an angel singing, or a wonderful baritone voice, or Randy rattling around in the car, we call in from our homes, offices, and cars around the world to create this program. So are you on the road right now, Randy?
I'm on the road, and I'm in one of our most beautiful tropical downpours. Doing a little bit of traveling this morning.
Oh, how nice. Now,
could you send it to California?
I would if I could. It's so heavy.
Possibility. Hey, you guys, Jesus actually spoke in Aramaic, so it means to go out in the world and get that which is yours, and Randy's already in the car working on it. So
I am.
Always include a prayer for the celebration of our republic, for the United States of America, for our animal friends, for each other and our communities. And in California, we've had another set of fires that have been caused by evildoers, and I understand that the satellite that was actually causing the latest round of fires, our trees explode down here from the inside. That's one of the clues. Metal collapses, all kinds of stuff goes. We find out that there are developers that already have housing reports in and all ready to go and rebuild and then sell the people whose houses they burned down in a whole new set of houses. It's a fabulous plan here in our amazing sanctuary state. Come on, right on over. If you want adventure in the world, we've got it for you in California. We've got generated fires, and we've got we take care of our criminals here. They're very nicely fed.
Oh, no. It's horrible. Terrible example.
Oh, God. Get me going here this morning. I was actually looking at a bunch of different stuff that was going on this week. I was actually in Hawaii about 10 years ago on Pearl Harbor Day, which was an amazing experience. And I invite you to go to Hawaii, and I invite you to go out and with the docents on the ship that sunk, the Arizona. And I invite you to look at the museum. And I also invite you, you'll see some surprises. You'll be amazed at how many Japanese come there, too. These are incidences that changed the world forever. Like 9/11 changed us, Pearl Harbor changed us. This last week, Jerusalem is now being recognized by Washington, D.C. rather than Tel Aviv. And I say, hey, go for it. The California fires have been revealed very quickly. And, you know, the devastation that's been done to this state and the amount of acreage lost in the last few months is just staggering. And when you realize it's probably the cabal's last crack at us over here because the satellite's been destroyed. Amazing stuff is happening on the other end of it. Randy, you know that I've been in terrible physical pain for years through all kinds
yes.
of attacks and stuff that I did through.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry Vincent reminded me of Egoscue, E-G-O-S-Q-U-E. I went over there this week, and I'm actually walking better than I've walked in maybe 10, 15 years after one session. So,
you want to explain Egoscue?
Egoscue is, it's a doctor that created ways of working and balancing the human body, and they use things such as straps, body positions. They exercise muscles that weaken as one ages. If, for instance, a lot of people you know, they're all kind of stooped over when they get older.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you went to Egoscue, you could, after about, actually one session, but after about a month or two, you'd actually be standing up straight and walking correctly again, and it's through a series of 15-minute exercises every day. So,
interesting.
We take
and the doctor in me says you still got to get to that root cause, but go ahead.
Well, the doctor, yeah, well, see, that's exactly what they're doing. The root cause is that we start to get our bodies out of alignment, and then we start to compensate rather than correct. Doctor,
okay.
What do you think?
So, well, it's nutrients, too. It could be all kinds of things.
Well, in this particular case, what they're working with is that the muscles, when you start to compensate, what they do is they take a picture of you, and they show you where you're off, and then they start correcting. They start strengthening the muscles that would straighten you up. Within 10 minutes, Randy, I could stand up without pain for the first time in like 15 years.
I believe it. I know that there's, you know, I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on air, but I had incredible leg pain years ago. Incredible. Excruciating. And I had somebody do what's known as cupping on me. And
oh, yeah.
Look that up. And it took me off the floor when they set it up. Incredibly painful, worse than the pain I was already experiencing. But within 15 minutes of those being removed, the cups being removed, I was a different person. So these other methods do work.
Yeah, this isn't just a one-time fix. This is
cupping is a remarkable discovery, which was used very heavily on the U.S. swim team, Michael Phelps himself included, and it relieved local pain in the nerves and the muscles before the competitive swims would begin.
Was that the cupping or the Egoscue?
That was cupping.
Yeah. There's just fabulous stuff out there that if you don't know it, it works. And we're not going to spend a lot of time. There's a lot of stuff going on today, so we're not going to spend too much time on this. We have Paul here today, Paul the plumber, and our Washington insider has got a lot of inside stuff going on. I've already ranted a bit about our California fire scene started, but we've also got a couple of messages from President Trump that I think fit well into here, and then after that we'll go into, we'll tell you more about the global currency reset, and we'll also talk to you about a few other things. So, Mike, play the short tape first.
My fellow Americans, today we remember the 76th anniversary of the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor that killed more than 2,400 Americans and plunged our nation into the Second World War. We remember the lives that were lost, the families torn from loved ones, and the heroes who rose to America's defense. As the smoke billowed that day from our sinking ships, our entire nation rose up to show our enemies America's unbending strength, might, and resolve. Millions of American patriots answered the call and went to war. We overcame and ultimately triumphed against our enemies, achieving victory for America, for peace, and for humanity itself. We understood then, as we still do today, there is no substitute for American strength. America does not seek conflict, but we never run from it. Not then, not now, not ever. Thank you, God bless you, God bless the heroes who wear the uniform, and God bless the United States of America.
Now that is the official conversation. And Paul, I'm wondering if you know any different, because I actually heard that Pearl Harbor happened on a Sunday, and I also heard that we were aware that it was happening. and we let it happen as a government so that the people would be outraged. Is there any truth in that, to your understanding?
There's a school of thought among both Republican and Democrat pundits that America was anxious to get into the war to assist our allies and was looking for an opportunity to leverage the justification for going to war. And they saw the attack on Pearl Harbor as instantaneous justification for declaring war on Japan and the Third Reich. Whether that's true or not, you know, remains to be seen. But Roosevelt...
Actually, for a number of reasons, and as I said, I was over there. I happened to be over there on Pearl Harbor Day. I end up in some very interesting places on special days without realizing it. And it's like, oh, I'm in, you know, Hawaii on Pearl Harbor Day. The Japanese saw it as a loss, too. And one of the things that struck me the most, Paul, was watching the Japanese like to walk around in the sun with umbrellas. So what was really interesting on Pearl Harbor Day was all of the men and women that had survived the attack, and some of them were in like the 90s and stuff. It was very moving because people felt very strongly motivated like that, like we did about 9/11. I was actually thinking of Pearl Harbor and 9/11 as similar motivators to get the country up and going, so to speak, in the direction that the government wanted. But what I was struck by was the survivors, actually, a lot of them, they actually, when they died, they actually had their ashes shipped back to Hawaii and placed in the wreckage of the ship that was sunk so that they could be, it's making me cry right now, so that they could...
I've heard that story, too. Most recently, a lot of the graves have been dug up to DNA identify in some fashion the remains, because many of the remains were never reunited with the families who were associated with the dead, and that is something that just happened within the last 2 months. I don't know how successful the attempt was, but I suspect that because DNA typing has become so prevalent and so easy to do, that they had some success, but I haven't heard anything more about that. As to the reunification of the ashes in the ships, I don't know. It's very difficult to do that.
Well, I don't know. I'm just telling you they've done it. They actually have taken, you know, they take divers out and they actually take sailors that have requested, they actually get buried there, or however you want to call that process. I found that very moving. I also found the museum and things of that nature moving. I've also been, you know, at the grounds of the Twin Towers and things of that nature. Those things have tremendous impact on one emotionally and physically. What I find from both of them is the depth of what governments are willing to do to manipulate their citizens in the direction that they want.
And well, you know, it's still a day that will live in infamy. It's questionable. You know, Roosevelt and his health, both physical and mental, deteriorated fairly rapidly to the degree that when he and Churchill and Stalin met at Yalta, he was completely outmanned and outthought and outdealt by Stalin.
And that
depressed a lot of people, and it brought up the idea that perhaps Roosevelt allowed the attack to happen, even though we knew it was going to take place.
Didn't Truman take over the presidency before Pearl Harbor?
You know, every word that you just said went up into the ether, because the connection isn't very good. And
no,
I wonder, am I still coming in loudly?
Yes, you're fine. I believe Trump, I believe Truman was actually president during Pearl Harbor. Wasn't he? Didn't Roosevelt die there, right around in there somewhere?
Well, Pearl Harbor almost happened on my birthday.
Huh.
Within a few days of my birthday, but of course, I knew nothing about Pearl Harbor because I was growing up in Europe.
Got it.
And I was actually born during the war. Late.
Yeah, I'm a war baby myself. Mike, let's go on to part two, unless you wanted to say something, Randy, before we move into the second Trump tape.
No, I'm ready to hear our president. Let's roll
yeah,
with
it. Yeah, okay,
him.
Let's hear our president.
How old are you?
97.
You look beautiful. You look beautiful, huh? So proud of you guys.
Perfect.
You look fantastic. How are you?
These are great men. Thank you for being with us. On this day, 76 years ago, more than 2,000 Americans were killed in a surprise attack on our homeland. Hundreds more were injured, battleships, cruisers, destroyers, and aircraft carriers in our Pacific fleet at Pearl Harbor suffered crippling losses. Everybody knows about it. America was at war. These folks know about it more than anybody. As we remember that fateful day, it's an incredible honor to be joined here with surviving veterans of the attack on Pearl Harbor. And you'll be here for the next 7 years with me, okay? All right, 7 years. After that, who knows? They're heroes and they're living witnesses to American history. All American hearts are filled with gratitude for their service, their sacrifice, and their presence here today. These veterans are World War II and very special men, are among the very first Americans to fight back in the Second World War. That's really true when you think you're the first ones to fight back. That's something to be said, and we did okay. Once we got our act together, we did okay because we know how to win. Outnumbered and outgunned, they did not hesitate. These six great American patriots answered the call of history. Mickey Gannich, Jack Holder, Lawrence Perry, Robert Fernandez, George Blake, and Alexander Horozny. On that bright Sunday morning, Mickey Gannich and his shipmates were getting ready to play a game of football against the crew of the USS Arizona for the Fleet Championship. Where's Mickey? You never got that game, huh? You never got that. You better believe it. I know you won the war. I don't know about football. You won the war. When bombs... Look at you. Look at you. Look beautiful. Boy, oh boy, that's pretty... Can you do that one more time for me? I can't believe it. Boy, that's... I'm not playing him in football. When bombs began to fall, Mickey reported to his battle station in the crow's nest of the USS Pennsylvania, wearing his football uniform and his football helmet, which he threw off because he figured he didn't need it. That's pretty great, huh? And you did a hell of a job. You saw something that few people have ever witnessed before, right?
Right.
Amazing. Thanks, Mickey. Jack Holder. Jack. Hi, Jack. Jack Holder survived the enemy's attack on Ford Island, and went on to fly dozens of missions in the battles of Midway and all along the Solomon Islands. Thank you, Jack, for being here. Appreciate it. Very brave guy. Lawrence Perry carried ammunition to the gunners, and thinking about the lessons of Pearl Harbor, Larry said he hopes we can build up the military again. We are building up the military beyond what you ever thought. It got depleted, you know what happened over the last quite a long period of time, but not with us. Our budget's now going to be higher than ever before. We're building it up again, and we'll do it in your honor, okay? We're building it up, the best equipment in the world. We make it, and we're supplying it in very big numbers. Thanks. And we're doing a job. Robert Fernandez. Robert.
Yes.
Nice seeing you, Robert. Served on the USS Curtis that delivered return fire against the enemy, and he really gave it to them pretty good. They were very successful at the return fire. Good job. You look like you're about 50 years old. Huh? You must have been very young. You look great. What is the age?
93 now.
93? Well, you look great. George Blake stood watch on the Hawaiian shores, ready to repulse a feared invasion. George, thank you, George. Good. It was pretty wild scene. You'll never forget that, right?
I've never forgotten.
Nope, you haven't, and you fought hard. Alexander Horozny enlisted in the Army when he was only 17. Alex served throughout the war, but if you tried to call him a hero, he'd tell you he was just a regular grunt in the service. That's what he told us. A regular grunt. I don't think so. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I know it is. You're not a regular anything. You're a hero. You're a hero. All of you are heroes. In the weeks and months that took place after the surprise attack, and that was a vicious surprise attack, millions of American patriots like these men answered the same call and went to war. They fought, they bled, they sacrificed, and they triumphed. Many died to defend America against our enemies and to defeat the enemies of all humanity. The legacy of that legendary American generation is carved deep into the stone monuments of history, across the battlefields, oceans, and harrowing skies of Europe and the Pacific. Throughout the war, one great battle cry could be heard by American friends and foes alike. Remember Pearl Harbor. Have you heard that before a couple of times? Remember Pearl Harbor.
Remember Pearl Harbor as we go to meet a foe. Just remember Pearl Harbor as we give the Alamo. We shall always remember how they died for liberty. Just remember Pearl Harbor and go on to victory.
Yes.
What can I say? Wow, that was good. He's a very shy person, too. And a great football player. Today, our entire nation pauses to remember Pearl Harbor and the brave warriors who on that day stood tall and fought for America. As I signed the proclamation making this National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, I ask that God continue to bless and watch over each of you as very, very special people to our country. And God is watching over you, and we appreciate it. Thank you. Our surviving World War II veterans are a precious national treasure. So I'm going to sign this proclamation, and we're going to, I see there's one pen, but we're going to get plenty of other pens and other things for you guys so you remember this day. And again, we'll do it for another 7 years, okay? 7 years, and you all have to promise you're going to be around, right? We're going to be around. We're going to be around. We're going to be together, okay? Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's sign the proclamation. Thank you.
That was so great, though, Ken. It was like you really made this very exciting.
Some free entertainment, right? Okay, this is National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day 2017. And we've got things for everybody. Great man. What do you think? How's the penmanship? Okay? Right? It's okay? Thank you, everybody.
Well, that last part of that was pretty trashy as far as the sound was concerned. These are representations of days that changed the world. And we've got more of those coming up. Paul, you had quite a list of things that are happening that made me smile really big time, because we've been putting up with criminal behavior and egomaniac takeover for as long as I can remember. Would you give us some of the latest updates about what's happening as far as our different key players in the United States?
Oh, I think that probably the most explosive news that's emerging is the discovery that within the FBI there were certain individuals with built-in bias towards President Trump, not just Comey. One of those has now been let go. There are a couple of additional members that were in the State Department. There's some issues that are going to emerge there. But it looks as though the Mueller investigation is going to be investigated. So the investigators are going
to be investigated? I love it.
Investigators are going to be investigated. And some of the other issues are associated with the Department of Justice and the fact that they're dragging their feet. Kurt Gowdy and Jim Jordan in particular, members of the House, are up in arms about the foot-dragging of the Department of Justice. Now, the Deputy Secretary of the Deputy of the Department of Justice appears to be in cahoots with Mueller, and of course, they're very, very good friends. Absence of bias and equanimity is what is supposed to rule at the Department of Justice, but that is not what happened under the previous Attorney General. I'm not sure that Sessions has the internal support at the Department of Justice to really do something robust and severe, because he's surrounded by the residue, and that's exactly what it is, the residue of the Obama administration that is still at the Department of Justice. So he doesn't have, let's call it, crony support. And I think that's one of the factors that's slowed down his response to a lot of abuses, not the least of which was the loaded verdict of the Kate Steinlin tragedy in San Francisco. We can't emphasize sufficiently how corrupt the government of Governor Brown has become. So, you know, some action is going to have to be taken.
And what would it be? What kind of action could be taken?
Well, you know, again, you have the issue of sanctuary cities, but the greater issue is sanctuary states.
Are we the only sanctuary state?
Oh, no, no. I think Pennsylvania is making some attempts to become a sanctuary state.
Wow. Certainly
New York City in particular as a sanctuary city, because Mayor de Blasio, you know, has changed his tune so many times that one never knows what his latest proclamation is going to be. He doesn't make pronouncements, he makes proclamations, but it is a serious problem, because a state and a city cannot defy the federal government and the rule of law and the Constitution.
That's right.
Right now, you know, the only weapons that are available are withholding of government funds to states and cities who are expecting government funds for, you know, various projects. The trouble is that there's a certain shooting of the foot at the government level that takes place, because some of that money is for infrastructure reconstruction. It's a very serious problem. In many ways, it's a legislative paradox.
I got an interruption here, because I'm looking at Brown, and by the way, Brown is doing the same thing that Obama's been doing. He's been going around representing himself to foreign nations and things of that nation, you know, a notion. Obama does it as, you know, following on Trump's footsteps, meeting and actually not being treated that well by the people that he visits, but he doesn't stop him. Isn't there something called the Logan Act or something like that that should put him in jail for what he's up to? And certainly Brown has been going around making arrangements with foreign people. So it's like, how are they getting away with this?
Well,
and isn't there something called treason? I mean,
isn't this called treason?
Well, of course, and the whole arrangement with the Russians and 26% of our uranium supply is...
So it's only 20,
totally, you're saying? That's total treason. So all of the people involved in that, and Mueller and Comey were involved in it, Eric Holder, the people on the 7-9 man committee who...
What are you going to mention Hillary bum Clinton, because she was Secretary of State at the time?
Well, no, the Secretary of State at the time was Hillary.
That's what I was just said. I called her bum Clinton.
Well, yeah, but it's not just Hillary. It's the husband behind the throne.
Right. I'm saying you hadn't mentioned the Clintons yet. That's all.
Oh well, yeah. I have 15 names on the top of my head, and of course they should be at the head of the list. But Obama is right up there with them, and that's an impeachable offense, and it's a presidential. White House seating indictment offense. And all of those are treacherous acts.
All of these meetings he doesn't stop. He's had a couple more in the last week. Why isn't anybody stopping him?
Well, it's very difficult to second guess, you know, what's going to happen, but...
It's already happened. It's been happening and happening and happening and happening.
It's not happening because the Republicans have to get off their fat bottoms and start pointing fingers. Once they point fingers and actually make active pronouncements, then we might get somewhere. But the first time I was on the show, I made a comment that I hope, you know, stuck to some minds out there, and that was that the world's supply of Viagra and Cialis could not have changed the impotence of the Republican Party since they took both houses in 2012. Can you imagine? In 2012, we were in charge. The Republicans were in charge and owned both houses. And already then, they knew of the scandal with uranium, because Paul Schweitzer had written a book, a film was done on Clinton Cash, basically revealing, the enormity of the deceit and the corruption that took place, and the Republicans did nothing about it. We are now 5 years later, and there's only three or four people who are expressing Republican outrage within the party, and that's not enough. So I don't know what's going to happen. I hope the whole rat's nest gets what they richly deserve, which is the full power of the United States government. I don't know if it's going to happen. I worry about it.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, to me...
What's the penalty for treason anymore? What is it? I mean,
let's
give them the full rat.
By hanging or electric chair or thumbnails being pulled out or something like that?
Well, you know, there may have been, I hate to call it a quid pro quo, but there may have been some kind of an internal a quid pro quo with some of the resident Republicans and some of the people active in these particular treasonous activities. And we don't know what that quid pro might have been, but, you know, internally, it's the old story. Well, look, we have found out this about you and your staff And, you know, we're Democrats, but if you don't raise your voice too loudly about what we're about to do, we're going to let it go, and vice versa. This kind of thing goes on constantly.
What about on Clinton and on McCain? There's a rumor going around that those boots are actually covering up ankle monitors. Do you have any information on that? And by the way, McCain put his boot on the wrong foot the other day.
I saw that footage.
Well, you know, McCain appears to be an enigma, but he has been a major obstructor. He single-handedly brought down the repeal of Obamacare and brought it down crashing in flames, and he wasn't in the cockpit of an F-4 anymore, but he did just as much damage.
Yeah, a lot of listeners may not know
did he
that
do
our show-off McCain actually caused the death of quite a few people when he was joyriding around on one of the aircraft carriers. This guy is not who you think he is if you think he's a...
Well, that's an ancient story that goes back to the Vietnam days, but because of his personal vendetta against Trump, which doesn't really get discussed adequately in the media, but when Trump made the comment that, you know, he preferred dealing with people who had not allowed themselves to be caught, that really hit McCain hard, and he certainly struck back at the whole country by venting his spleen on Donald Trump for having made that comment. And that hasn't stopped, although he did support the tax initiative because he had no choice. But insofar as, you know, any of his other activities, some people say that he rolled over during his campaign against Obama. I don't know. I don't know whether that's legitimate. I think he gave it a good shot. He just really didn't have the wherewithal to fight the Obama machine.
Any comments, Randy? Because I'm about to tell people what's next on the Intel list for the RV. About water. So I didn't know if you wanted to put the water in here or before the RV.
Did
you like about
in.
The water before I tell them about the RV?
Yeah, I'll talk about the water. I actually on my Facebook page wrote an article this week, if you want to call it an article, a post. And it was based on a book called The Hidden Messages of in Water, and it's written by a Dr. Emoto. And it's really a fascinating book, and it, you know, it talks about basically the mindset, the mind frame, and what you allow into your ears, into your life, into your hearts. And what Dr. Emoto did is he did some experiments where he put water in 50 Petri dishes, and then they exposed it to different things. And some people have probably heard of this, but they exposed it to rock music, terrible words, demeaning words, negative words, beautiful words, prayer, anything uplifting and positive. And when they did this, they put the Petri dishes basically on the table, and they put speakers on both sides of the Petri dishes, and then they froze the water. And the ones where the negative went into it, of course, when they froze into crystals, they were the most atrocious looking. They were brown. They weren't bright. They weren't beautiful. They weren't live. They weren't thriving. Whereas the other ones were, where the positive was spoken into them, the prayer was spoken, they just were gorgeous. They were beautiful. Not one was the same. They were amazing. Yeah. And if you look at that, our bodies are anywhere, they say, between 70 and 80% water. Our cells are made up of 70 to 80% water. And so, in fact, when we were born, when we were just, you know, fetuses, they were about 99% water. So imagine how important it was in that whole growing phase, being formed, how important it is to have positives, even on the outside of the mother. That's the noise that's coming through. And by the time we die, we're at about, or get near death, we're at about 50% water. And the point is throughout the best years of our life, we're thinking and growing and living our lives, you're at 70 to 80% water. So what are we putting into our bodies? What are we allowing into our ears? What are the messages that we're bringing in? What are the messages that we're teaching our kids? And so it's just very important. It's through Dr. Emoto's absolutely brilliant experiment to figure out that we need to just be positive. We need to be uplifting. We need to be around people that are like that. We cannot allow the negative as much as possible into our lives and into our circles, and because it totally affects the cells in your body. So when people are getting sick, you know, I remember being in a really bad relationship and my sister said, I want you out of that because I'm so afraid you'll get cancer or something like that. And you know, there's truth to that. You can get sick. People, you know, that last relationship that I've talked about before was so ugly at points where I just heard nothing but negative for 24 to 48 hours straight. And it would take me more than a week to recover. I would literally be bedridden because of so much negative flying into my body. And I cannot cope with that. I cannot handle that. So I have to eliminate that completely and have positives around me. And some people might say, well, that's not realistic. You're right. It's not all the time. But it is most of the time. And you can control that. And you can control what negative you allow in and what you don't. And as of recently, I had people telling me a bunch of negative things about somebody that I knew. And I said, you know what? No more. This was when I was out in Vegas. I said, no more. I don't want to hear any more. I know enough to know that I have to stay away. And so I have remained completely away. And my life is better. I'm healthy. I'm happy. And you just can't allow that around you, because when you do, you actually affect other people as well. Like, you know, I'd be in some bad moods and, you know, I'd project that and allow my kids to see that or be around it. And they said, look, that person is not good for you. Get away from them. My kids had enough sense to tell me. You know, my friends had enough sense to say, you know what, that is a terrible person. You have to get away from all of that. And it can be on a job. If people have a job that they hate, or they have a boss who's, you know, ridiculous every day they go in, point is, get yourself surrounded by good things, and that is going to be one of the main ingredients, a root cause for a lot of people to why they're unhealthy. And just turn that around and change that. Quit the job if you have to. You know, some people, I don't understand. If the neighborhood is drive-by shootings every night, why not leave?
Yeah, I got it. You know, it's interesting, Randy, because yeah. I actually listened to something on water this last week myself, because somebody was talking about water being part of God's conversation. And as an adjunct to what you were saying about the Petri dishes and such, the example mm-hmm. that they gave on this particular deal with water was that there was a flask that was accidentally dropped in water and the flask had poison in it. Mm-hmm. They weren't concerned about it. they took the flask out after, I guess the flask stayed in overnight or something, but they took it out and the flask was sealed. So the water was then used to feed all the lab rats, and every one of them died because the water was actually affected by the poison, which wasn't even, quotes, in it. So we're looking at something very closely here that affects us, and I 100%, I've got a negative being upstairs that I'm working on getting out of the house here.
right.
He came in one form, and he turns out to be just a nasty little poop. So that little poop is leaving today. And he's not going to be welcomed back unless it's for tea or something, and he's got a collar on.
Yeah, and they need to apologize. You know, some people are unwilling to apologize. I think they go to their death with that anger and, you know, I don't know.
It's righteousness. Randy and I were discussing yesterday narcissistic personality disorder, which we seem to know how to find them. Randy, I wanted to do an upbeat on the end of this. I don't know how much time
yes.
we've got left here, but I want to give us...
Well, let me end mine on the fact is, once I got rid of the negative out of my life, I can't tell you, Val and Paul, how many doors have absolutely opened up. It is unreal when you change that environment, how much positive will open up to you. And it's like so worth it. So, you know, don't hang on to the bad. Back to you, Val.
Back right on. So we have Ron sent this over. It's from Tank. I'm not real... I haven't followed Tank a whole lot, but it sounds intelligent to me. And what happens is Jenna and Roseanne and Patty and a group of us get things that are sent to us every day, and Ron has just been absolutely great in searching them out as well. We talk about things that are changing the world. We've talked about Pearl Harbor. We've talked about the fires that have been set and the treasons and the corruptions and things of that nature. Well, a hydration is coming, and that's what they've been referring to it as, is a hydration. And people have the idea that if they stomp and scream and say, well, we're not going to take this any longer, or who's holding us up, or calling you names, or something like that, you're actually going to change the process. Yeah. You're just going to make everybody around you crazy, because this thing's going to happen when it happens. However, it is scheduled to happen this year, so they say. Now, I was told in 2010... to expect a Christmas present, and I've been told in 2017 the same way, and I really believe we're a lot closer than we were in 2010. But I'll give you what we've got for today, and I think there's a strong possibility that something profound is about to happen. I just this is Tank speaking. I just heard that the Admirals Group is fine, and we're closer than we've ever been, and the Admirals Group is one of the internet groups. And there's gatherings of people that are large holders in Iraqi dinar and Zimbabwe currency and Vietnamese dong. And I guess even the Canadian dollar is going to reevaluate at a pretty good rate. So the U.S. Treasury has received funds from the groups, and there's all groups all over the place. And they've done background checks to make sure that you're not a criminal. Gosh darn Randy, they're going to find out about you and me when we did Thelma and Louise. Did you ever see Thelma and Louise?
I never did. I've just seen some pictures, some images of two women in a car, like, on an adventure.
Yeah. Well, the adventure ends up with them driving off a cliff where they're being chased into the Grand Canyon, into definitely a new life. And we are. It's going to be every bit as transformative, because literally... money is going to be infused into the world, and I don't, you know, there's so many details that could be given to you about this, but this is not something new. There's trusts that, there's a Saint Germain trust, there's different trusts that have been around for 300 and 400 years gathering funds, there's the Chinese elders, there's the blending of a bunch of Asian royalty so that they could produce one heir that would help with this. There has been things going on for 150, 200, 300, 400 years towards this day. Trump is in prophecy, so they say. The changing of the world, when we have the United States no longer answers or speaks with Tel Aviv, they're speaking with Jerusalem. Christmas is back in the White House. We're going to get Christmas cards again. I actually refused to buy cards from my card company because they didn't have a single darn Christmas card. All they have was Happy Holidays. I celebrate Christmas.
You know, that's funny. I think I mentioned that last week when I looked at the papyrus rack, three separate papyrus racks in three separate stores, and papyrus, of all people, had no Christmas cards. No cards celebrating angels, the nativity, any of it. It was all Happy Holidays. Disgusting.
Right. Yeah, right there with you. So actually now the farmers' claims are about to be paid. The American corporation that's been running our country from foreign soil out of Washington, D.C. Yes, Washington, D.C. is foreign soil. And established the Federal Reserve in Puerto Rico to control the central banks. It just goes on and on. Anyway, it seems that this is supposed to be out of business as of 12:30 Eastern Standard Time on Friday. The restored Republic of the United States has been allegedly in control since 2015 with Paul Ryan at the helm. Is that really true, Paul? That Paul Ryan is at the helm of the Republic? Because I can't stand that guy.
It's one of those rumors, you know, that's been spun by the rumor mill. Paul Ryan is not that kind of man. If you watched the debates when Ryan was Romney's running mate, he's a very serious, he's a very formal, upstanding kind of guy. And he, unlike so many Republicans, has a backbone. But, you know, that was quite obvious.
You think he's got a backbone? I'm not sure. I don't think we should spend our time actually deciding. I don't want to put out my opinion of Paul Ryan when that's not the important thing that's actually happening. People out there are stomping and saying, when is this reset going to happen? And if I just yell and scream and I'm not going to take any more false reports and stuff. Guys, it's happening when it's happening. There's 209 countries involved in this. You hear a lot of talk out of President Trump about leveling the playing field, and this totally does that. And there's other things, Paul, that you might even want to comment on that are actually leveling the playing field as well, which is one of the reasons why I think Jerusalem was picked as the representative of Christ, is what I think. What do you think?
Well, he's making good on his promises. You might remember Newt Gingrich, and when he was running against Romney and he was asked what he would do the first week of his presidency were he to be elected, and that was the first thing he said. First, I would move the American embassy from its current location in Tel Aviv and set it up in Jerusalem and make Jerusalem the capital.
There you go.
So
that
happened
in the last week or so, didn't it?
Well, yeah. It's done. I mean, the legislation, the event, and the decision on the part of the president has received, I won't say worldwide acclaim, because 14 out of 15 nations in the United Nations expressed their dissatisfaction with the decision.
We're almost out of time, but we do want to make sure that we say we got our tax cut. The tax cut is in.
Look, as we speak, the United States government is looking for real estate in Jerusalem where to locate the new embassy. It is happening. It's a done deal. There may be some dissatisfaction on the part of the Palestinians. Hamas already shot rockets. You know, we already had some rocket shots.
By Kirkgaard, Intergalactic Media, our radio partners, PonineCompany.com, Happily200.com, HeavenIncorporated.com, Anavon Reich, Dr. James Murphy, John Denver, Dr. Joel Wallach, Tippi Hedren, Carol Channing, Deepak Chopra, Ed Asner, Dennis Weaver, Larry Hagman, and Esther Williams, Admiral Eugene Carroll, Jane Goodall, Jonathan Granoff, Dennis Kucinich, Chris Burgard, Paul the Plumber, Terry Cole Whitaker, Sherry St. Vincent, Lonnie Hogan Miller, Sherry Sharifi Brown, Roger Stone, David R., descendant of King David, RandyShannon.com, Edward F. Group III, Shalene Nightingale, DrVal.com, and Doctors All Spelled Out. Thanks to Paul C. Bragg for leaving this, your daughter, Patricia, to continue your good work. And big thanks to our team at Voice America, Jess Bernard, our producer, Ryan Treasure, Randy Jackman, and our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale, Mary Flynn, Ron Simon, and our research director, Rockin' John, Ron Hayes, to John Young at Totally Gospel. A big thanks for all the airtime and friendship you've given us over the years. A big thanks to our webmaster, Joe Chung. Merci beaucoup to Bette Migrant for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People, which is available to you as a free MP3 gift. Next week, invite a friend to listen, be kind to yourself and someone else. Christmas is coming back. Jerusalem is here. I feel the world changing. I'm very excited. We're blessed to have Paul and Randy with us today. And it's happening, guys. I believe we've got about a 99.9% chance of walking into 2018 with a different financial system in this world and a lot of generosity happening. God bless you all.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through, now your heart is open.